The OMTG Taps is brought to you by StarCityGames.com.
The next stop on the StarCityGames.com Open Series is coming up this weekend in Las Vegas. On November 5th and 6th, join hundreds of other players to battle it out in the Standard, Legacy, and Draft Opens and compete for the glory, the money, and the prestige of moving up the ranks of the SCG Players Club. With side events galore and live coverage courtesy of SCG Live, it'll be an action-packed weekend that you won't want to miss. So make plans to join StarCityGames.com in Vegas, and we'll see you there. Everybody, and welcome to episode 85 of Yo MTG Taps. I'm Joey Pasco,
and I'm Big Head Joe,
and we're gonna go with the usual formula, right? Standard, Legacy, maybe a touch of some other topics, maybe some rants about something or other. You know, why not?
Verse course, solo bad solo.
Exactly. You're so sappy. So. It's been a couple weeks since our last episode, and in that time, you played at Star City Baltimore. I know you didn't play in the standard portion, but you did play in some draft events against some. You had some interesting people in your pods. I know you played in two of them. Do you want to talk about that real quick before we actually go into standard?
Do I have to?
No. So standard.
No. I do want to talk about it. So. It's got a, one of the things that I think is important to do in your Magic career is when you make very, very obvious, miserable mistakes, the thing that you would like that you should do with those mistakes, other than bury them under, like sweep them under the rug, and I think we bring up the Fearless Magical Inventory like every other week or so.
Right? Yeah, and it's up on Star City today, actually.
Oh, really?
You know that? Yeah, they happen to be rerunning it. Sam Stoddard's excellent Fearless Magical Inventory article, which we have mentioned several times before, and it is a must-read.
So, absolutely must-read.
So, Gus, you said something about sweeping things under the blue-white? No, rug.
Right. Right. Oh, that was a very good joke, Joe. That was a high-quality joke.
It was awesome.
Anyway, all I was saying was put your mistakes out in the open for people to criticize them and to berate you for them so you don't forget them and you learn from them. So round one of draft open one, I was playing in my round against I believe it was a red-white deck, and I was playing blue-black.
And did you win game one? Was this game two or three?
This was game three, and we were in time.
Okay.
So I can't remember exactly how it went down, but I had played a Murder of Crows the turn before, right? And he was at six life. So turn two of extra turns, I swing with the Murder of Crows. I take him to two life. Right? I play two more flyers, and I pass the turn, right? Uh-huh. Both
so
flyers.
You've
had
got
at least he's dead on board. All I have to do is untap and draw my card. So he had two werewolves that were going to flip on his turn if I didn't play anything. And I don't remember exactly why I didn't want them to flip, but I didn't. So I play, I flashback Forbidden Alchemy, and I go 1, 2, 3, 4, look at the top four cards in my library. And the problem is I'm holding the rest of my library in my hand when I do this. So I have zero cards in my library, and I look down, and I did not count my library before I cast the spell. Cast it. Mm-hmm. Resolve it. Sitting there with my entire library in my hand. And I go, well, I get one of these, and the rest of them go into my graveyard. I don't have Memories Journey in my graveyard.
You couldn't kill them on your upkeep, right?
I didn't have Laboratory Maniac. Right. I had to swing. So instead of winning, I lost. Right?
Yeah.
So I sat there for about I'd say about a minute and stewed in my seat, you know, kind of upset. And then I got up and I got right in line and signed up for the second draft open.
Good call. So now I'm going to just make a couple comments before you go on talking about the second draft open. But two things. One, you reminded me of something that a lot of players – I feel like people were saying this a lot more a couple years ago, but I haven't actually heard it much recently. But the I think somebody even went as far as writing F-O-W-M on their hand, on their fingers at one of the Pro Tours or Grand Prix. I feel like it was a Pro Tour. Like, focus on what matters. And you saying about why you didn't want the werewolves to flip. Now, I don't know why you didn't either, and maybe it was relevant. But chances are, maybe it wasn't at all relevant. What, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's like normally in a game, you probably maybe didn't want them to flip. But knowing that you had the win on board next turn, and as long as they couldn't stop that. Now, maybe one was like the Daybreak Ranger, right? The one that
but they were the
kills flyers.
They were red ones.
Okay, so it wasn't one of those. So,
well, the Daybreak Ranger, I would know that, because then it can fight the creatures.
That's what I was thinking.
I kind of wouldn't want that to have the fight ability or the deal two damage to a flyer ability. I guess I'm screwed either way on that one, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, maybe that was what was relevant to you, but anyway, that was the whole focus on what matters thing. I think is something that people have. It's been like a thing in the game for probably a long time, but I haven't heard anybody mentioning it recently. It's just kind of like, does it matter if they flip? You know, does it really matter? Are they going to stop you from winning? And like, maybe that wasn't relevant. I mean, maybe they actually did have a reason. If you can't remember, and I obviously wasn't there. But then the other thing I wanted to mention, I said the thing about winning during your upkeep, because when you told me the story, I had just watched a match on SCG Live, you know, that I was covering. Nick Spagnuolo playing a Burning Vengeance deck and won on his upkeep when he would have decked himself. He had no cards in his library. It was the same thing, except he planned it that way. You know, he set it up. He was in extra turns, and he set it up so, okay, I know I'm not going to have cards in my library, but as long as I can burn him out during my upkeep. And that's what he did. It was awesome. And for any of you want to get the details on that, go watch, like, it's one of the early rounds of SCG Baltimore. It's Nick Spagnuolo. I can't remember his opponent, but it was definitely an excellent finish to that match and very, very exciting. So, draft open two. You had quite a pod.
So yeah, so my pod, in draft two was a little stacked, just slightly stacked, I would say. Let's see, we had, Jerry T.
Yeah.
Edgar Flores.
Mm-hmm.
Ali Antrazi, the national champion, current. Oh, and who is considered, I guess, to be the best limited player in the world, Ely Cassis. I had to play against, that was my pod.
That's a pretty, pretty ridiculous pod. I did tweet that out, and you were like, I got this. So I tweeted that too. But I took a picture of you playing Jerry. It's on our Twitter account.
Yeah,
too, so
I saw that.
So anyway, how did that go? Like,
well, I mean, I felt like the draft went well. I felt like I built a,
you played Uber. Red in that
red black,
which was weird. Cause you say you stay away from red.
I do.
So you went with that because of your pod, I would assume?
I got handed a Brimstone Volley and just decided to, like, to see what developed from there, and it looked good, and I just went with it. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Like, because you always say, you know, I avoid red like the plague, kind of
I do,
thing,
and,
so.
Like, I got caught up in it. And round two, I played Jerry. I beat him game one, mm-hmm. and then game two, He swings in with a creature. I had him pretty low. So to the point where he was just casting Moment of Heroism on his creature just to gain some life, you know?
Okay.
So he casts Moment of Heroism on his creature, and I go Brimstone Volley because it was a 3-power or 3-toughness creature.
Uh-huh.
In response to that, he casts a second Moment of Heroism. So now here's my situation. So I have another Brimstone Volley in hand, right?
Uh-huh.
I believe he has two of my creatures under Fiend Hunters on his side of the board.
Okay.
But I totally misplayed instead of burning one of his fiend hunters to activate the morbid on Brimstone Volley, which I didn't think about, I went and Brimstone Volleyed his creature a second time.
Ah.
So totally, you know.
Just didn't see it.
Yeah, just didn't think about the morbid. Like, didn't think about the fact that when the spell resolved, it would be 5 damage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't think about it. And, you know, we live and learn. So, oh well.
Right. Was it, the game was that close in game 2 then?
I think I had him at 5 at that time, at that point.
Yeah. So if he, that can't be right. Because if he was at 5, you just burn a fiend hunter and then throw a brimstone volley at his face.
That's true.
I don't think you missed that. I'm sure you were probably trying. He was at 5. I mean,
no, he was at 5 at the end of the game.
Okay, that so. Makes sense. Yeah, because then you're like, I don't care what you're doing. I can win during my upkeep.
Right.
What was his deck? What was he playing? What colors?
Blue-white.
Okay.
Like a blue-white, you know, blue-white flyers kind of deal.
Okay. So he could have had a counterspell or something maybe, but
yeah.
Anyway. So, and you lost to him in game 3, I guess?
Yeah, in game 3 I lost to him. Game 3 was pretty one-sided.
Okay.
But, it's all good.
Yeah, but was it fun?
Oh, of course. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. So what else? Any other?
I wasn't there to have fun. I was there to win.
Oh, fair enough.
What is this deck?
I don't know. What are you looking at?
Blue-red counterburn.
Okay. Are you looking at where are you looking at that? Legacy, standard?
The standard. The deck, it's a deck tech from
with Caleb Durward.
Yeah.
I have this on my list. Okay, so let's talk standard. I'm excited about this deck actually. There's two decks that I'm excited about that we can talk about that weren't in the that didn't, you know, Caleb didn't make top 16, but he did get a deck tech. So for those of you wondering what we're talking about, Star City Open in Kansas City was this past weekend, and Adam Boyd won the standard portion with Blue-White Blade. So Call Blade's coming back. God, this deck is disgusting. No, it's really just a completely different deck, but I guess I get the reference. Blue-White Blade, obviously a more aggressive tilt than the control-y Call Blade kind of deck that we were all used to. But this is the new version. At least it's the new pretender. But Caleb Durward has a deck tech on Star City with a blue-red, like, Delver deck, basically. And I was thinking about this because – and I think we're going to talk a little bit about it more with Legacy. But, like, Delver of Secrets has kind of broken out in Legacy. And it seems like it's a perfectly natural fit for Legacy. For anybody who doesn't remember, Delver of Secrets is an Innistrad common. It's a 1/1 for a blue creature, human, wizard. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. You may reveal that card. If an instant or sorcery card is revealed this way, transform Delver of Secrets, and it becomes a 3/2 flyer. So people call it the Blue Wild Nacatl at this point. It's great in Legacy, where not only, like, blue decks in Legacy already typically play a lot of instants and sorceries, and a lot of library manipulation, brainstorm, ponder, Sensei's Divining Top, like all that kind of stuff where you know what's on top of your library, so you can just set it up. We saw Colosso Fuentes win the Legacy portion of Star City Baltimore with a deck that ran, it was basically Rug Counterbalance. And he took that down with Delver of Secrets and Divining Top. He was always able to flip them pretty much the turn after he played them. And, I love this card. I think it's, you know, it's in among my favorites of Innistrad. Actually, it may actually be my second favorite card in Innistrad behind Snapcaster Mage.
This deck runs both those.
And this deck runs both of those. Well, so does, like, every Legacy deck, too, of course. Like, this True. Is, it's fantastic. So, anyway, you know, the question is, can it fit into Standard? And where Standard is kind of more creature-heavy. Does it fit into Standard? Well, Caleb decided to give it a shot here, and I like where he's going with it. I don't know if I would have went in the same direction. I think he's actually playing maybe too many creatures. He's got 4, 8, 10, 13, 14 creatures in the deck, and maybe that's fine. I guess the other thing about Standard being that it's so creature-heavy, there's a lot more removal played in Standard, like main deck removal, or and even in like the quantity of removal, it seems like in Standard there's just a lot more of it. But anyway, Caleb's deck has 1 Molten Steel Dragon, 3 Chandra's Phoenix, 4 Delver of Secrets, 2 Grim Lavamancer, and 4 Snapcaster Mage. And then he's got Brimstone Volley and Incinerate and Mana Leak, 4 of each of those, 4 Shock, 1 Negate, 2 Vapor Snag, 1 Koth of the Hammer, 2 Divination, 2 Ponder. So he uses Ponder there to help manipulate as well. I definitely like the idea of like a blue-red control list and, you know, going with the Delver package. It's a very interesting deck, and you can read the deck tech on the Kansas City coverage. So if you're interested in that, check it out. Let's run over the top 16. We've got Blue-White Blade, as I mentioned, Blue-White Humans, Mono-Black Infect, which broke out at States mostly and then has continued to be a popular choice. I think a lot of people want to play Infect. And this version, which can be attributed, I think, to Smitty of 60cards.com, is really taking off. Like, Jerry played it, and Joe Janik, a local guy, top-8ed with it in Baltimore.
I played it at Game Day.
You played it at Game Day. How do you like it? So you've actually played with the deck. What do you think?
Okay, so it seemed to go all right for me, but the problem was that I thought that the deck was supposed to be good against Wolf Run, which is why I was playing it, and my only 2 losses were both against the same player playing Wolf Run. So, what the hell, man?
The thing is, I think you're not good against Wolf Run. That's the problem.
I don't know. Like, you know, no. You know the problem is? How come, like, my opponent's allowed to play a Primeval Titan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then turn it sideways, like, 3 times without me destroying it? Like, you know, I'm like, why don't I have a removal spell? Like, and they, you know, I think it was my fault. You know, I'm not, like, going to blame Wolf Run for that. And I didn't feel like... I mean, I understand Wolf Run's a really, really powerful deck, and ramp strategies are good. I mean, I like ramp decks. But there has to be an answer to this deck. And that's, like, the reason why I'm not building the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I want to, honestly. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like the kind of deck I would play. You know that. But I'm more into, like debunking it.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a bigger challenge to, like, try to find the answer to that deck rather than to just give in and play that deck. And there has to be an answer to that deck. Like, all it does is it ramps into a creature. Like... there has to be an answer to that. That doesn't seem like, you know what I mean? Like, I blame my deck, and I blame, you know, maybe wasting removal spells or my deck building. I blame on having a Primeval Titan resolve against me and then allowing it to turn sideways 3 times every game without ever destroying it. Like, it should have been dead. Should have been long dead, you know?
Yeah.
So, like.
Theoretically, you use Despise to get rid of it.
Yeah, but theoretically, I had 3 in my deck, and play 1 on turn 1, I think, every game, and don't see a Primeval Titan. So, what do you want me to do?
Well, maybe if your main target is Primeval Titan, then don't play it on turn 1.
Wait until... Yeah, I mean, at that point, I'm trying to, like, develop my board state, you know? Like,
yeah, I understand. I'm just trying to think... I haven't played the matchup, but that's you know, the removal and the despises are meant to deal with that... You know, with the Garrix and the, well, meant to deal with Primeval Titans. And then, of course, the Despisers can hit Garrix, too. And obviously, Dungrove Elder gets hit with Despise. So Despise is obviously pretty good. Because everything in that deck wants to do is...
But you know what Despise doesn't hit that I learned?
Inkamoth Nexus?
Green Sun Zenith.
Well, yeah, that's true. So that's why you need the removal, too. So.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to win pretty quickly. I mean, they basically only have 10 life, and you have, like, Lash Writhe and you know, Phyrexian Crusader. What did you made some changes to the deck, didn't you?
Crusader? I wasn't even that into Crusader. I almost would rather play Blue-Black and run, like, Blighted Agent instead of Crusader and then just have counter backup for Slagstorm. Because, like... Crusader, what it does is it doesn't die to Slagstorm, but it also doesn't, like, do anything else. Well, like, if its only ability is not dying, then it's not really doing anything for me. Like, it doesn't stop a Dungrovelder. It doesn't stop a Primeval Titan.
Right.
It doesn't even, like, really... I mean, it can block a Viridian Corruptor or Acidic Slime or a Solemn Simulacrum. But you almost don't want to block a Solemn Simulacrum.
Right. Well, the thing it does is it shrinks the Dungrove Elders or the Primeval Titans or whatever if you block.
By the time it shrinks a Primeval Titan, they're searching up a Wolf Run and an Ink Moth Nexus, which Go for the Thirds can't destroy.
Theoretically, I'm thinking it's more along the lines of shrinking the Dungrove Elders, but it also shrinks the Primeval Titans.
Last Ride in the deck, you don't really want to be running Ghost Quarter and Ink Moth Nexus.
Yeah.
But I guess I think you kind of have to. Like, after playing the deck, I was like, God, I wish I had a Ghost Quarter every game. God, I wish I had a Ghost Quarter. God, I wish I had a Ghost Quarter.
Well, like, also, your removal kills Ink Moth Nexus as long as your removal isn't Go for the Throat.
Yeah, but my removal is Go for the Throat.
Why? So, what were you afraid of?
Huh?
Why were you playing Go for the Throat and not Doomblade? Like, and not a mix? Did you have a mix?
I definitely had one Doomblade and two Go for the Throat and one Sever the Bloodline.
Okay. So, like, Dismember would have been probably decent. Like, I'm just looking at this list now, so he's got...
Dismember never made my deck. And, I know that's a mistake, but I was also kind of building the deck with an hour to go, or finishing my list with an hour to go before game day.
Okay. Did you play Virulent Wound?
No.
Okay. So, what removal did you have? Like... Because this guy's got 8 main deck removal. He's got 2 Dismember, 1 Doomblade, 2 Victim of Night, 3 Virulent Wound.
I went more with like the hand manipulation stuff. I had like 3 Distress and 3 of the
Despise.
Other. Yeah, but I see. But never saw them when I needed them.
You were playing something else, and I can't remember what it was. Was it Mimic Vat?
I took it out.
Okay.
I had it in there for
like
for
a second. Yeah,
it was interesting. It was cool, but like then when I was putting the deck together Sunday morning, I decided to cut it. The thing I was playing differently was main deck Sword of Feast and Famine, which I never saw ever in any of the however many games I played against Wolf Run.
Was it just a one of? Is that why?
Two of.
Yeah, two of. Okay. Huh. That's just bad beats there. You played 2 Skitherix or 3?
I played 3.
Okay, because I know you cut it at one point when I was with you on Thursday. You cut the third one anyway.
I was running 2 Tribute to Hunger.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, mainly it's the same formula, obviously. It's not – I don't think there's, like, some huge difference between these. But both guys playing 3 Lilianas. Did you play Liliana?
No.
Okay. I is there a reason you just don't have them or
– Why would I play Liliana? Look at this list here, right?
Uh-huh.
Name one thing that I would benefit from discarding. Right? Name one thing here that would benefit from discarding.
Yeah, I don't think anything.
Why would I want to literally not a single card in this deck benefits from going to my graveyard. Now, why would I play a sorcery speed edict when I can play an instant speed edict?
Will you play both? That's the thing.
But why?
I think the other thing is she teams up also with some of the discard spells. Like, ideally, I'm guessing this deck actually plays its hand out kind of a lot. It's more aggressive. Like, you want to clear the way for your guys. So if she sits on board as an edict effect, that's something. And if you don't have anything in your hand, then you don't need to worry about what you need to discard. Or, you know, whatever. You just discard something because it's not the card you need. You'd rather have an edict effect than or you'd rather have Liliana sitting around, you know, plussing Liliana, or she just absorbs some damage, whatever it is. Like, it seems like I can see why people want to play it. I guess I can see a little bit of your logic with not it. I don't know. I think it's just additional removal, and it also teams up with the other discard. where you can end up having them, you know, empty-handed or just playing off the top of their deck.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already trying to play that Whispering Spectre, which is essentially Mind Twist, right? Whispering Spectre dealing damage, and then you sacrifice it, and they discard cards equal to the number of poison counters they have, so...
Right.
If you do that, they're already empty-handed, but I mean, she just kind of helps along with that idea, and if you are dumping your hand, that's awesome, because you're not having any effect... You're not being affected by Liliana. Or you just hold, like, lands or something if you really... if you want to hold other cards in your hand, then maybe hold a land also to, like, discard to Liliana if you don't need it. That kind of thing. Again, I haven't played with the deck, so you would actually know better than I would, but it seems like the lists I'm looking at are running Liliana. Now, let me look at Josh Wagoner, former U.S. national champion, also played the... also played, in fact, at Baltimore and also top-8ed with it. Actually, I think he made top 4. Or maybe I'm wrong. I think he actually died in the quarterfinals. Either way, he top-8ed. And he was not playing Liliana in the main, but he had two in the sideboard.
Two in the board, right.
Yeah, so, theoretically, it's people expect it to... Or people are having success with it, or else it would be not showing up at all in the decks. And I'm sure we'll get some comments like, this is why Liliana's good. Or, I agree, Liliana's not any good for that deck. So, anybody wants to chime in, that's awesome. Definitely leave us some comments.
I mean, I don't think it's that good just because, like, with a deck that runs 2 total draw spells.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like you ever want to be discarding a card.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know.
It definitely doesn't capitalize on it like something like Solar Flare does. Solar Flare seems like the really one of the only decks that really can capitalize on Liliana, or at least capitalize the best on her discarding or her discard
her
ability.
Her price now reflects that.
Yeah, what is she back to, like 35, 40? Okay,
$40.
But Snapcaster decks can at least mitigate the damage by, you know, discarding something that they can Snapcaster back. So that's something, but you know, no Snapcasters in the Infect deck. But speaking of Solar Flare, that came in 4th place, David Thomas, and that's kind of interesting because it seems like it's like the little deck that could or something. Like, I don't know. It's that doesn't really make any sense. But the fact is, it hasn't won an event yet, but it keeps showing up, and then it starts to like fall out of favor. But like somebody like AJ will top 8 with it, like he did at Baltimore, AJ Soccer. And then this week, David Thomas has it in 4th place, and Max Kirsch has an 8th place finish with Solar Flare. The deck that's missing from this top 16 is Blue-Black Control, which was supposedly good against Wolf Run and the better version of Solar Flare, but it did not even crack the top 16, and I believe also didn't crack the top 8 of GP Hiroshima, which was also over the weekend. It was standard. Martin Juza won that event with green-white humans, or green-white tokens, I'm sorry. And I don't think... I'm taking a look real quick just to be sure, but I'm pretty sure Blue-Black didn't show up in the top 8, or if it did, it may have been one of, but I don't even think it made the top 16. I have to look at the standings for that, but it's kind of interesting. Yeah, it didn't make the top 8 for sure, but kind of crazy because people...
You want to talk about the Grand Prix?
Yeah, sure, why not? Hopefully. Of course. So go ahead, talk about it. What do you got to say?
I was just wondering if you wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I had anything to say about it.
Fair enough. So before we get to the Grand Prix then, because I did want to talk about this, Wolf Run has been obviously the top deck. You mentioned it. It's just been evolving slowly, or quickly actually, over the course of the last few weeks since it debuted at Nashville. First versions were green-red, then they became very close to mono-green with just like a splash of red for the Kesig Wolf Run, and now 9th place and 10th place at Kansas City, Kevin Doolin and Chase Keaton, both playing white versions of Wolf Run, and both different versions, actually, of the deck. Let me see if it looks like... I'm going to try to compare these here. So, like, there's quite a bit of difference Kevin plays four main deck Day of Judgment, and I don't think there's a Day of Judgment at all in Chase's deck. I prefer the version with Day of Judgment. There's
that's the card I want to be playing right now, by the way.
Right, exactly. Gideon's another one.
There's, yeah, me too. Yep.
Like, it feels like these are the cards. These cards are so strong right now, Gideon and Day of Judgment. So I was thinking this last week, I want to play Gideon and Day of Judgment. So I was working on blue-white control again. I didn't actually sleeve it up in time to play with it on Thursday when we played. But I feel like blue-white was where I wanted to be. And
I'm working on mono-white.
Yeah, well, that can play Day of Judgment and Gideon too. Obviously, these cards are just really good in the format right now. And now Wolf Run is like, you know what? We're going to do this too. Especially with a lot of like mirror matches going on, because Dungrove Elders and Thruns, you know, they die to Day of Judgment as long as that Thrun doesn't have regeneration mana up, obviously. So it seems like that's where things are going. And then that makes me wonder, you know, what's the next step? I do feel like maybe the next iteration of blue X control is going to be more blue white because of these cards being so good. See, it seems to me like the obvious choice you need to make is, do you want better sweepers or better spot removal? Because black obviously has the better spot removal and the discard, but white has the better like ways to deal with more than one creature, you know, like I can Day of Judgment, I can play Gideon. It seems like that's where you want to be right now, just because even the spot removal, obviously terrible against Thrun or Dungrove Elder, and both of those cards seeing so much play now. So it just makes blue-black a little bit less of an option for that kind of, and all these other hexproof creatures. I keep talking about Thrun and Dungrove Elder, but there's Geist of St. Traft that people are playing. And, you know, Hexproof has just become a thing. But I really like Kevin's list. He's got the four main deck Day of Judgment. He's got two main deck Gideons. He's got one main deck Elesh Norn. I think this, if you're going to play Wolf Run, this is the version I'd go with. He has four Viridian Emissary back in the deck, which had kind of disappeared from recent lists. And as far as Dungrove Elder goes, he does not play Dungrove. So this is a lot less than, you know, it's a kind of a way different version. It's actually more like the green red version because of the sweeper. Like instead of Slagstorm, though, it gets Day of Judgment. But you realize you can go like activate Gideon and then draw six cards off of Garrick. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's kind of like, even if you don't have any, you could like Day of Judgment and then activate Gideon and draw six cards off of Garrick.
Oh my god. Did you see this birthing pod deck?
Haven't yet. Where is that? What are you looking at?
From the top eight of GP Heroes.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's where I thought you were talking about. Let me
can I just read this list to you?
Yeah, do
can
it.
Just read this list to you? I just want to read this.
Yeah.
So here's the list. Seven forests, four hinterland harbors, one island, two plains, four razor verge thicket, three Seachrome Coast, two Sunpetal Grove, right?
Okay, so it's Bant.
Right. Our artifacts are two Mimic Vat and four Birthing Pod, right?
Uh-huh.
Ready for our creature base?
I'm ready.
Three Acidic Slime, one Archon of Justice, four Avacyn's Pilgrim, three Birds of Paradise, two Blade Splicer, one Brindle Boar, one Elesh Norn Grand Cenobite, one Fiend Hunter, one Frost Titan, three Phantasmal Image, one Phyrexian Metamorph, one Scab Ruinator, two Solemn Simulacrum, two Sun Titan, three Viridian Emissary, one Wing Splicer, one Wormcoil Engine. What the hell is this deck?
it's he just plays all the creatures.
Brindle Boar.
He accidentally shuffled his limited deck into his standard deck, and clearly it still was good enough.
Brindle Boar
and Wing Splicer.
Wing Splicer, like that's intense.
That is pretty nuts.
Like, okay, dude.
Yeah, so Martin Juza won that event with green-white tokens. Tokens obviously getting big. Elspeth Tyrell seeing a pretty big spike in play, I think. Seeing a lot more of her. Now, I don't know if Martin Yusa definitely played her. Three of her and three Garrick Relentless. It's weird. This format like keeps shifting, and it's like a good thing. And we keep seeing a lot of the same. We keep seeing a lot of the same like stable of decks do well, but they're doing like some of the ones that were kind of like, yeah, whatever, that'll die out. Seem to have gotten better, and the ones that are like seem to be the strongest. Like, disappear. Like, where's blue-black control? Like I mentioned, like, Solar Flare was this big deck, and then it was kind of like, it can't seem to win, but it keeps seeming to get to the, you know, the top eight. It's just such a weird format, and it's cool, but it's very unpredictable, and I guess that is part of what makes it cool. It's kind of nuts. So I have this in front of me, and I'm not going to send it to you because I think it will get out of hand very quickly because I have this deck that was posted in Japanese. It's a Counter Wolf is the name of the deck, at least the translated version. I have it open in Google Chrome, and I translated it. And I believe Kenji may have helped design this deck. I'm not 100% sure. Somebody linked it on Twitter. And it's
Counter Wolf, you say?
Yeah, so this deck looks like a lot of fun, right? I'm just going to run it down real quick, you know, from what I have in front of me. It's got 8 forests, 10 islands, 4 bay inland ports, 4 corner habitats. Should I read, like, the actual English card names or how they were translated in Japanese? I love these translations. Well, the deck looks
actually
awesome.
Read the translations, please.
Right. Well, bay inland port is Hinterland Harbor. and corner habitats are Ink Moth Nexus. I don't know why, but okay. I think I may attack people more with corner habitats, you know, attack with corner habitat. It's just more fun. So you got to love these because, you know what it reminds me of is Ingrish, ingrish.com. If any of you have ever seen that site, or if you've never seen that site, go to ingrish.com. It's just bad translations from like Japanese, I guess, to English. And it basically looks like they just did this because some of these names are kind of hilarious. But this deck, just to actually talk quickly about the deck before I go off on a, you know, giggling spree. It's got Mayor of Averbrook as kind of like the key to the deck. That's why it's Counter Wolf I think somebody called it Mayor Go was another name I've heard.
Nice.
It's got Thrun. It's got Snapcaster Mage. It's got Consecrated Sphinx. And then it's got Mana Leak, Dissipate, Think Twice, Beast Within, Sword of Feast and Famine, a Batterskull, 3 Garrick Relentless. And it's got 3 Gutshots, which I think is cool. And then it's got Tree of Redemption in the sideboard, even Autumn's Veil in the sideboard, Flash Freeze, Naturalize, Dismember, Mortar Pod, and Batterskull in the sideboard. And it just looks like a cool blue-green, like, control deck. And I love blue-green, so I think that this would be a lot of fun to play. So just to give you guys kind of a laugh here, and I guess I'll link this in the show notes. You'll have to open it, or you'll have to be able to translate it. And I guess to see the translations I'm getting, it's Google Translate, and it just automatically pops up in Google Chrome's browser. It's got Averbrook Mayor, whose flip side is apparently Leader of the Flock Barking. I'm sorry, I can't even go on with after that. Leader of the Flock Barking. It's got Last Trawl Saran, which is Thrun. Instantaneous Cascade Mage. Sanctified Sphinx. Sanctified Sphinx, not that bad. Gutshot, Mana Leak, both of those are good. Beast Within, Sword of Feast and Famine, those all work. It's got Vanishing Like Mist, which is Dissipate. Deliberation, which is Think Twice. And a Pitiless Galactopyranos, which is Garrick. Is Garrick Relentless. I don't even know what that word is, but Galactopyranos. A Pitiless Galactopyranos. I don't know. So, in the sideboard, it's got 2 copies of Tree Free. That's a Tree of Redemption.
Nice.
And this is one of my favorites here. Autumn's Veil is translated as Fall Books. and then, strangely, okay, this is another weird one. Well, it's not that weird. It's got Skull Strike in the main deck and Skull Beaten in the sideboard, which both apparently are Batterskull. So Yeah, I don't know. I'm just it seems so funny to see these translations, but it looks like a really cool deck, and I'm tempted to give it a shot. I don't have any Garrick Relentless, but I can get some, I guess. I can also just proxy them, and if the deck is cool, then I get them. That would probably make a lot more sense. But yeah, this seems like a lot of fun. Now, Gutshot, obviously, like, people have been nobody really played this before Innistrad. But once Innistrad came out, it seemed like it got really good against mono red decks. It's great against now all these ramp decks that are playing turn one birds or elves, and Inkamoth Nexus. And it goes anywhere. So, like, I love Gutshot. I really think that that's awesome to be that it's seeing play here. And I think, you know, it's like the correct dismember to play in this format, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, there's more creatures you want to kill that have one toughness than have, you know, more than one. Doesn't it seem like that? Like, you want to kill birds, you want to kill the first turn Stromkirk Noble, that kind of stuff.
And then
you have counterspells and, like, Beast Withins and Mana Leaks. Well, obviously Mana Leak is a counterspell, but, you know, you have, like, Mana Leak, Beast Within, you can have Dissipate, even Psychic Barrier, which is the counter-target creature spell, you know, for like, the bigger guys. And, you know, even if you're playing Despise or whatever, obviously, like, the whole thing is Gutshot can go anywhere because it costs a Phyrexian red and just deals one damage, I'm sorry. So I really like that card, and I like that it's seeing play. Autumn's Veil is one that we hadn't seen in a long time. You know, like, nobody really played it. It was printed in M11, and it's great against those control decks. Spells you control can't be countered by blue or black spells this turn, and creatures you control can't be the targets of blue or black spells this turn. Like, that's cool.
That's a card I like.
Yeah, so something to look at. Did you want to talk about the GP? I know you asked me that, but did you actually want to have anything to say, like, actually, seriously?
I was just looking at the decks and stuff. I hadn't really had a chance to check it out.
Yeah, it looks like there's... Like, Akira Asahara was playing Solar Flare. He made top 8. It's funny how you can look at a deck and go, okay, so it's Esper Control, and there's like, oh, there's one in Burial Rites, so now it's Solar Flare. Like, that's it. Just one card makes all the difference. because that's really what it is. It's just Esper Control. Interestingly, like, a mono-red deck, Koichi Tashiro made top 8 with a mono red, and that's kind of cool to see too. I love that these decks, it's like people respect them and they disappear, and then people forget about them and they just pop right back up.
I like the creature base for this, because I've been trying to build a good mono red deck, you know?
Yeah, no. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I like my plan, I've always been on the Stromkirk Noble and Reckless Waif, not or Reckless Waif. Plan, you know, like, I think that Reckless Waif is right up there with Stromkirk Noble. Over time, Noble does more, but Waif gets in there harder. You know what I mean?
You know, Jerry made a really good point, and I think he actually got it from somebody else. And now I wish I could remember the name. Jerry quoted somebody. So in the recent episode of Jerry TV on Star City Premium, mentioned about how these decks shouldn't be playing Stromkirk Noble because the damage is so important that things like Goblin Arsonist are more important to be playing than Stromkirk Noble, because you want that damage so you can trigger, like, it's all about triggering that that Bloodthirst for the Stormblood Berserker.
Yeah.
And Stromkirk doesn't do it as efficiently as something like Goblin Arsonist. So it's a...
What one drops are there that, like, what one drops are there that can block Stromkirk Noble besides Stromkirk Noble?
Well, I don't know if it's as much about getting blocked. I mean, that's part of it. But like, Goblin Arsonist is a one drop that when it dies, it deals one damage to target creature or player. So chances are, even if they block it, or even if it's you know, even if they kill it, you still trigger Bloodthirst and then can still cast your Berserker and get that bonus.
Bonus. Party bonus.
Exactly. So, something to think about.
the deck I liked out of this out of these results here it was the one that runs Gideon's Lawkeeper.
Yeah, it's like it looks like it's mono white, but it just splashes blue for what, Moorland Haunt and Mana Leak?
Moorland Haunt is white.
Moorland Haunt, you need to play.
Oh, Moorland Haunt. I'm thinking of Midnight Haunt.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Moorland Haunt and Mana Leak are the only main deck reasons to have blue. It's got Flash Freeze and a fourth Mana Leak in the sideboard. But otherwise, it's like, it's kind of white weenie-ish in a way. It's like, it's neat. It's got Timely Reinforcements, Champion of the Parish. Actually, you talk about it. You were excited about it. I'm stealing your thunder.
Champion, Fiend Hunter. A lot of Fiend Hunters in the top eight of this thing. Geist, Gideon's Lawkeeper, Grand Abolisher, Mirror Crusader, four Angelic Destinies.
You're looking at a different list. I'm looking at Hiroshi Onizuka's list, which you said the one that plays Gideon's Lawkeeper, and I assumed there was only one, but there's actually
there are
more.
Two.
Yeah, there's the other one's what, Takahiro Shiraki? Is that what you were looking at?
No, I was looking at
is there three? There's more than that? Oh, here's another one.
Rin Sato.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of Lawkeepers.
Well, Lawkeeper isn't in...
It's not in the Takahiro. Okay. I glanced at it and thought it was the same list. Wow, there's just a lot of blue-white aggro decks.
Yeah.
It's kind of nuts. What's that?
How does that make you feel, like...
Blue-white aggro?
Blue-white control player. No, I'm just kidding.
It's just like a different deck to me. Like, they're just aggro decks. It doesn't make me feel like anything, because they're not control decks.
They're co-opting your color.
That doesn't bother me. They're not a control deck, so it's not even the same kind of... It's not trying to steal my identity. Don't worry. Or I'm not worried anyway.
We're seeing a lot of Doom Travelers.
Yeah, it's crazy. Even Drew Levin played a white, like a human deck at Kansas City. I don't know how well he ended up doing, but he definitely was playing the Doom Travelers. Someone joked on Twitter that he was the doomed traveler for choosing that deck. But that's why I remember that.
I told Mary Jacobson that that should be her Twitter name. But it looks like she went with Makeobson instead. Well, she originally went with Jeff Foster.
And then it got like blocked
as her Twitter name, but then she got banned for impersonation, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Which was totally like, you know, it was with Jeff's good graces and all. Like, it wasn't like Jeff didn't know.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
She was asking Jeff, what Twitter name she should come up with. And then she decided that Jeff Foster was the best name that she could come up with. And I think it's a compliment for Jeff.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But then it got banned because she was trolling people. So anyway, little shout out there. Makeobson on Twitter. She just started. She's looking for followers. She'll be just tickled if you follow her, because she's new to Twitter and it's kind of hilarious. She sends a tweet. She's like, check this out. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. She drags you over to read her hashtags. So,
you want to talk about some legacy then? Or do you have anything else you wanted to add to the standard discussion?
No.
Like, if you were playing standard in a tournament tomorrow, would you not play Mono Black Infect? Would you play something different? What would you play?
If I were playing in a tournament tomorrow, I would try something different. I would probably play some weird mono white control deck.
Okay. No, like, why is that? What's the...
Because I'm just trying new things.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Is it more because you're trying things or more because you want to win? Like, if you wanted to win, what would you sleeve up Wolfrun? Well, and would you put which version? Green-white, I guess?
Green-white, I think, because green-white has access to Day of Judgment. I want to play Day of Judgment.
Okay.
Like, that's the card I want to play right now. Don't I always come back to this, that I want to play Day of Judgment and Gideon's?
I don't know.
This happened to me like 6 months ago, too, where I was like, man, I want to play something, but I just kind of want to play Day of Judgment and Gideon. And like,
yeah. And then cards that can cast them, planes and stuff.
Yeah. I also want to play Leon and Arbiter.
Yeah.
And Ghost Quarter again. I want to get back on that tip. And that's why, again, like, I don't think that there's room for Arbiter and Ghost Quarter in blue-white.
Right. No, somebody actually
said that. Yeah, I know. I can't remember who it was, but I agreed with it so much that I just totally co-opted it.
Oh, well, no, I was going to say this article that just went up Monday, Halloween. It's called "Of Standard Strip Mines and Snapcasters" by
That's
Mike.
That's the one.
Oh, it is the one. Okay, it's yeah. it just went up Monday. I figured. I feel like you've said this before Monday, so I don't know why you would have thought you got it from here.
No, I definitely. Well, I have said that, but I mean, like.
So anyway, no, yeah,
he said that blue white isn't good for that.
Yeah, I mean, but he seemed to imply like that it didn't work that well for him. I guess was it. You know, he wanted to see if the Leon and Arbiter ghost quarter thing would actually work. If he were to run it again, he would stick to white if he wanted to do the Leon and Arbiter ghost quarter thing. So, yeah, that's pretty much what he said. So that's on Star City Select. So that means it's free. And it's the article by Michael Martin from Halloween. You guys can check that out. Oh, I guess I should answer that question about standard too, huh? Like what I would play? Well, for fun, I think I'd probably want to sleeve up the I'd either go with the counter wolf deck, which that would probably be the most likely. But if I was just really trying to brew, I may try to do something like Caleb Durward did with the blue red Delver deck. And if I was trying to win, I think I would. Well, this is the tough one because I want to say blue black, but I kind of feel like blue white's better right now. So I'd probably go with blue white. Like obviously, I'm agreeing that, well, I feel like Wolf Run is the best deck, but I still want to play a strategy that is fits my sort of play style. I'd rather not just pick up a deck that's not my kind of style and just because it's the, quote, best deck. It's also got the biggest target on its back, too. So,
right.
And it's not like it's Callblade, where it's completely dominating everything and you really don't have any chance to beat it. It's definitely beatable. So that's probably what I would do. I'd mess around. If I really wanted to play like control, I probably would go with blue white. But if I wasn't confident in my own list, I'd go with blue black. Moving on to Legacy. Now, we mentioned last week that, last week in Baltimore, Colossal Fuentes won with Rug Counterbalance. This week, Rug Tempo takes first place in Kansas City. Dave Thomas, who top-aided the Standard Open, manages to win this one. He's got pretty much the usual suspects here. 4 Delver of Secrets, 4 Snapcaster, 4 Tarmogoyf as his creatures. No Vendilion Clicks. That's something that I would change if I were playing a list like this. I think Rug, again, looks really strong. It's not no Rug. It's not Natural Order Rug that was so good when Mental Misstep was around, but it's just more like basic control. It's got Brainstorm, Daze, Dismember, Force of Will, Lightning Bolt, Spell Snare, Stifle, 1 Life from the Loam, 1 Temporal Spring, which have you seen this before?
Temporal I'm hovering Spring. Over it right now.
Yeah, it's like, what is that? The first time I saw it, I mean, I'm sure I've seen it before, but I didn't remember. Lou Laskin was playing it in his Legacy list in Baltimore. And he apparently said to somebody, did you know Time Walk was legal in Legacy? Like, because it's a blue, a green, and 1 sorcery, put target permanent on top of its owner's library. So that's what he called it. But it's just kind of funny to see this starting to see play. So really the only reason that it's playing green is for Tarmogoyf. And then the Temporal Spring, the 1 of, and the Life from the Loam, 1 of. Sideboard, it gets access to Crossing Grip, Sylvan Library. But other than that, that's all the green. And that's kind of the thing, like, I almost feel like I would want to be playing blue-red. Like, I don't know. Tarmogoyf definitely is more pressure. But I'd probably just cut the Goyfs. And the green, the Life from the Loam and the Temporal Spring for more, something like Vendilion Clicks and maybe some more control-y spells, like maybe some more removal or something. I don't know. Obviously, Legacy's pretty wide open. You can kind of do a lot of different things. Alex Gonzalez playing Bug came in second place, and Jerry Thompson playing Rug Countertop came in third. So Jerry goes with a list that is, I believe, very similar to to Colossio Fuentes' list, but apparently not similar enough to get a compare this deck against thing at the bottom of the Star City deck deck page. But he's got that, that's another thing that was missing from Dave Thomas's list was Jace the Mind Sculptor. I didn't see that in the list, but Jerry's got that. Jerry's got Grim Lavamancers and Tarmogoyfs. He cut the Delvers, so he's it's actually not identical or not even near identical to Colossus list, but it's similar concept. Counterbalance suddenly becoming a top deck again after months because it was winning back in like January and February. It was like it was one of the top decks and then it disappeared, and especially because of Mental Misstep. But Mental Misstep's gone. Counterbalance works its way back into the format. So Dredge, Bant Stoneblade, Bant Rug Countertop, Samuel Davis playing Burn in 8th place.
Yeah, I'm going to build that deck. It's really cheap, and I kept my Keldon Marauders when I sold a bunch of cards.
So read it. What's in it? Gosh.
It's got cards. It's got 3 Figure of Destiny, 4 Goblin Guide, 3 Hellspark Elemental, 3 Keldon Marauder, 4 Fire Blast, 4 Lightning Bolt, 4 Price of Progress, 4 Chain Lightning, 4 Flame Lift, 4 Lava Spike, 4 Rift Bolt, 17 Mountain, 2 Barbarian Ring, Sideboard, 1 Relic of Progenitus, 2 Tormod's Crypt, 3 Pyrostatic Pillar, 4 Pyroblast, 2 Reverberate, and 3 Smash to Smithereen Signs.
One thing I think is interesting about Legacy, like, and I kind of, you know, told you I was going to talk about this, but it's kind of weird how crazy, like, the new sets have been affecting Legacy over the last few years. Because Legacy is such a huge format that usually a new set comes out and there aren't that many cards that have a huge effect on Legacy. Like there may be a couple playable cards in Legacy, but there's rarely a card that really becomes like a huge force, I guess, in Legacy. Like we had things like Progenitus show up a couple years ago, and then obviously it shows up in Natural Order Progenitus list, but that doesn't really, that's not like a big impact. And then, you know, Emrakul becomes like the big guy to cheat out, right? Like that. And, but again, like that's, you know, I guess it's a big impact if you look at it according to the numbers in the corners of the card. But, you know, as far as warping the format, I don't think Emrakul really did that too much. But then you have something like Vengevine, which was like ridiculous with Survival of the Fittest and doesn't see much play now, but I mean, it had a huge impact. Then there's things like Jace the Mind Sculptor, obviously having like a major impact. Stoneforge Mystic and Batterskull. Like these cards were just in the last few years. It's been not even 2 years since Jace was printed and Stoneforge. Batterskull came out, what, 6 months ago? Sword of Feast and Famine came out like 9 months ago. That sees Legacy play. But, you know, maybe not as big of an impact as something like Jace, Stoneforge, and Batterskull. Then you have Mental Misstep, obviously, was huge enough to warp the format to the point to get banned. And then Jin Gitaxias, I think, single-handedly revives reanimation strategies, or maybe it reanimates reanimation strategies. Yeah, so, and now we have Snapcaster Mage making a huge impact in Legacy right now. Now, there's a question of whether, is it that good, or are people just too slow to adapt? And that's the question on one of the, that was one of the quick questions on the coverage for Star City, Kansas City. You can check out some of the answers for that. But, you know, I think it's that good. I don't see how, you know, I don't see how it's going to be like, oh, Snapcaster Mage just isn't good now until you want to be playing like Sorcery Speed 3 and 4 casting cost spells. Like, when is that ever? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. I think that Snapcaster's only good in Legacy where instants and sorceries are good in Legacy. I mean, when Legacy becomes instant and sorcery heavy format, then sure, Snapcaster will be decent. But until then, it's just, I mean, it's kind of hit or miss, you know? Because if you're not playing instants or sorceries in your blue decks, then, you know, then there's really no need for Snapcaster Mage.
True.
So I mean, Snapcaster Mage is good as an instant speed blocker, kind of like a was that that snake from Innistrad. It's a Flash, and it's 2-1 Death Touch.
Oh, Ambush Viper?
Exactly. I mean, it's like the Ambush Viper of Legacy because it blocks Dark Confidant at instant speed. And, like, so it's pretty good for defense. But I mean, if you're not playing any instants or sorceries in your blue deck, then it's not really, you know, I don't know if you need it all that much. It's nice to have... I can't keep this joke up any longer. I'm out of ideas for it.
Yeah, that's why I didn't even try interrupting you. I knew you'd run out. Yeah.
Wait for me to peter like, out.
Yeah, it'll get there. So, yeah, obviously, I can't imagine that the answer to that question is people are slow to adapt. If it's an either-or thing. Are people slow to adapt? Yes. Is Snapcaster that good? Yes. Like, I think Jerry T was the one who answered yes to the question, which was, you know, are people slow to adapt or is Snapcaster that good? He just said yes.
Yes. Yeah, that was really
I think
good.
That's the correct answer. And then now Delver of Secrets. Now, it hasn't had enough time, I don't think, to get a foothold. I mean, I know it's been around just as long as Snapcaster, but as far as kind of breaking out, it didn't really break out until Baltimore, which was, you know, over three weeks into Innistrad's legality in Legacy. So it's still kind of a new card to Legacy, but I think we're going to see more and more of it. And especially alongside Snapcaster Mage, like that's a perfect combination. Snapcaster wants you to play instants and sorceries, and so does Delver of Secrets, and so does Legacy in general. So it's just, I guess my entire point here was, is this power creep? Like, is this what we're seeing? Or are they designing cards specifically for Legacy? Like, what do you think? Do you think that's actually what's happening? Maybe they're like deliberately designing cards for Legacy now to try to have a bigger impact on that format. Or I guess another option is that people are paying more attention to Legacy. That's more minds to brew up decks. And that's why these cards are seeing more play.
I think, honestly, I think we're getting intentional attention paid to Legacy.
Yeah. I hope that's the case. I mean, I think they're definitely... paying some attention to Legacy. I think they always have been, but it's great to see these cards like actually showing up. So, anything else that you wanted to say about Legacy? What are you in playing? What do you want to play? Burn? What are your feelings on Legacy?
I don't want to play Burn. I just want to smash with some fishies, and I want to play Spell Snare in there.
Did you see? I guess you probably didn't because you were at the event, but in Baltimore. Jared Silva brought over some of the stats for Legacy, and it was talking about with Merfolk, it's actually performing terribly against the field, and its best matchups are against like goblins. I think it's like that's its best matchup, but against everything else, it's got a terrible like 30% win percentage. It's just interesting to see a deck like Merfolk, which is supposed to be kind of. It was only being kept down. This was something I brought up in the booth. Really, theoretically, Merfolk died because Mental Misstep showed up, right? I mean, you could now counter Vile with Mental Misstep or Force of Will on turn one. And the format slowed down enough to where it just became not as good to be playing something like Merfolk. So Merfolk died out a bit. And then it's like, okay, Mental Misstep's gone. Now we can reclaim our our place in the top tier of the metagame. But for some reason, that's not happening. And the only like the major difference that I can see is something like Snapcaster Mage. He's actually, I think, keeping Merfolk down just as well as Mental Misstep was, or almost as well. He blocks. He gets two removal spells out of one card. You know. So anyway, I think we can move on to the wrap up part of the show.
I have a couple things I need to say.
Okay.
First of all, I wanted to thank, I think his name is Z Magic, Z-I-M-A-G-I-C on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me some sleeves for my commander deck. For those of you who don't know,
is that Owen Burke?
Yes, I think it is. Isn't it?
It is Z Magic, Owen Burke. I've talked to him a bit. I think
he sent me sleeves from France. For my commander deck, and they say it's a zombie Uncle Sam, and it's saying I want your brains, which is awesome.
Yes,
and
they're really cool looking sleeves. I wish they were over here.
So that was totally rad. And I wanted to thank him for that.
Cool. Upcoming events. This weekend, November 5th and 6th, we have Star City Games Open Series in Las Vegas. Patrick Chapin and Jacob Van Loonen are the commentators for SCG Live. So for those of you like me...
What a hell of a pair.
Yeah, seriously, like me and Joe, who can't make it or won't be making it, prepare to be blown away by those guys. I'm excited to watch, because the last time Chapin was on, I was on with him, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, but now I get to actually watch from the outside, so that's kind of cool. Next weekend, November 12th and 13th, is GP San Diego, which is limited. And then the week after that, November 17th through the 20th, is Worlds. So now we have this whole, like, awesome giant tournament to look forward to see. I wonder how Standard's going to shake out there. And, of course, the other formats, there's Modern is one of the other formats, and so is Legacy and Limited. So, it'll be cool to see how those actually end up showing up. I mean, you know, what shows up in Standard, and I'm really excited to see what shows up in Modern.
Faux show.
I mean, Modern's going to be a PTQ format in the beginning of next year, as we've mentioned before, so that's something to keep in mind. You want to keep an eye on those, on the coverage for that if you're not going to be there. And even if you are going to be there, keep an eye on the coverage. So that's everything for this week. We are Yo MTG Taps.
Stop pitching, start brewing.
What are you laughing at? That's everything for this week. We are VR Troopers 3.
Three, go virtual reality. Troopers 3, go virtual reality. I think that's good. Let's end it like that.
We should, yeah. That's everything for this week. We are Yo MTG Taps.
Virtual reality.